You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Can I just say what a joy it is to be in front of y'all, seeing so many familiar faces that I've just walked with and had the opportunity to love and grow in the gospel with. I often think of just my time here, of walking with our elders and our pastors, and what a privilege it is to attend a church where I see our elders and our pastors, how much they labor in the gospel, how much they love you, and how much they intercede for you in prayer. So even before we jump into the text, I just want to be encouraging you. Ready? Pray for your elders and your pastors as they are praying for you, because we often need it. And so if you're here today, listen, I want you to start heading over to Psalm 23. So, and if you don't have a Bible, there's going to be people around you that are going to be handing out Bibles. And if you don't own a Bible, I want you to know that is our gift to you. Feel free to walk away with it. No one's going to stop you, and you will not be charged with stealing. So start heading over to Psalm 23. And as you find your way there, I want to talk to a little bit of a story. Edits and revisions are common occurrences in businesses. So often we can publish something and then we have to loop back around and kind of change what we said, and we have to tweak it because it was wrong or it was off. Here's a funny example of it with a parachute company. You ready? If you are one of the hundreds of parachuting enthusiasts that bought our book, Skydiving Done Easy, please make a revision. Please change line 19 on page 23 and change the phrase provincial zip code to pull ripcord. We are sorry for any inconvenience this may have caused you. Oh my goodness, what a mistake. Because here I am, I'm going to jump out of a plane at like 30,000 feet. I'm going to start dropping. It's going to be amazing. My watch is going to start dinging, saying, you know what, activate the parachute. And so what I'm going to do in that moment, because I've gone off of this Skydiving Done Easy manual, is I'm going to go, okay, provincial zip code. Not a problem. Okay, parachute, you ready? L5M3Z9. And what's going to happen? Nothing. Oh, but actually, something's going to happen. The world is going to get a lot closer. And then I'm going to start freaking out more. I'm going to be like, L5M3Z9. L5M3Z9, L5M3Z9, L5M3Z9. And it's all going to be coming closer, and this urgency is going to keep coming up. Why? I quoted something that didn't have an authority. I quoted something that needed a revision. You see, whenever we make a big step in life, whether it's out of a plane or a big life decision, we better have confidence rooted in something that's worthy of our confidence. But this is what I love. Parachute manuals might need revisions, but never once has the Bible needed revision. Never once has the Word of God been found lacking. And that's why we're gonna jump into Psalm 23 with confidence. We're gonna see the beauty and the power of it. Why? It's good, it's sufficient, and it's powerful. But before we jump in, I wanna stop and I wanna pray. Pray with me, Toronto West. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you are a God who is close and a God who is intimate. Thank you, God, that you have given us your Word. I pray, Lord, as we look to Psalm 23, would we find more than just words on a page? Would we find the author behind the words? Lord, we don't need a clever sermon or a good service. What we need is an encounter with you. So God, I pray here on this Sunday morning, would you meet us here and would it change us? We pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, so listen, as we jump into Psalm 23, I want to just pause and be like this. I think it's going to be important to remember something. It's this. You're about to read a psalm that's written from the position of a sheep. It's a humble position that the author of Psalm 23 is writing from. You see, the author finds comfort in this humble position because it's paired with the Lord's high position. We're going to miss the beauty and we're going to miss the point of this passage if we approach it with pride. So let's go through Psalm 23 together from a position of humility, and there we will find the power and the beauty of the passage. You ready? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love this psalm. It's a really well-known psalm. See, if you grew up Christian, you hear this psalm and you go, amen. And maybe you're here and you didn't grow up Christian and you hear the psalm and you're tempted to start singing Gangster's Paradise by Coolio. And so the thing I love about this psalm is for some reason, Christians and non-Christians have a familiarity with this psalm. And so what I want to do is not quote Coolio or Gangster's Paradise. I want to go to the Word of God and see, why do people have such an interest in this passage? Why is it so well known? Why is it so beautiful? Why is it so powerful? So here we're going to dive in. And so here's the first point when we see this, and it's this. When the Lord is my shepherd, you see David say, I want not. Do you see that in verses 1 through 3? Here it goes, 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, how could David ever say, I want not? And it's because this, I want not because of who he is. We start to see that David is content, but it actually has to start with being content because of the nature and the character of who his God is, of who his shepherd is. You see, right here when it says the Lord is my shepherd, this is the greatest figure of the passage. The greatest figure of the passage just entered in. And it's not David, it's not the sheep. What it is it's the Lord coming into this passage, and he's coming in as a shepherd. Now listen, we're in Toronto. We don't really see shepherds very often, right? Like, there's no land, there's no room for livestock. In fact, we pay $700,000 for our little tiny condo. So when was the last time we ever saw a shepherd do a shepherding thing? See, we need to stop and we need to remember, what is a shepherd? First of all, you need to know that when David's like, my God, he is my shepherd, it's this, a shepherd is a leader. He oversees the flock. A shepherd is a provider. He provides the needs for his flock. A shepherd is a defender. He protects the sheep from real threats that want to destroy the sheep. And I love that. Why? Because he's going, Lord, you are my shepherd. And so he's giving attributes to the character of God. And he's saying, you know what, Lord? In this moment, you're a leader. You're a provider. You're a defender. And so we start to see that he's finding contentment in the fact of who his God is, because his God is not a small God at all. And I love it too, because here he says something fascinating. See, when David says, God, you are my shepherd, he's saying two things. First, he's saying, you are my shepherd. I know you. I recognize you. I am close to you. I am yours. I follow you. You are my leader. There's an intimacy behind the phrase, my shepherd. He doesn't just say the Lord is a shepherd. He goes, the Lord is my shepherd. Instantly you start to see that not just are the attributes of a shepherd great, but how great is it that the attributes of the shepherd has this intimacy to David and has an intimacy to us here today. So when he goes, the Lord is my shepherd, he's saying, first of all, I have an intimacy with the Lord, but he also says something else. David's acknowledging he is a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Who needs a shepherd? Sheep. David is acknowledging the nature of his relationship with God. God, you are the leader. You are the shepherd. I am the follower. I need leading. I love this because David's leaning in to share in this analogy the strength and the sufficiency of the Lord. At the same time, he's also showing his own weakness, which is ironic. Look, David has probably one of the most ultimate man cards that I've ever heard of. He kills Goliath. He kills bears. Kills lions. He plays the harp and demons tremble. Like, the harp and demons tremble. Like, that's an unusual instrument, not exactly the most manly instrument I've ever thought of. But yeah, he's sitting there playing this harp and demons are trembling before him. So you start to see David's got a pretty sweet resume behind him. And he's got a pretty sweet man card behind him, but he's going, I in and of myself am not enough. I am a sheep. I need leading. If David can say that, how much more can we say that here today? Isn't that just a freeing thought? I'm not ultimate. I don't always know what to do. I am weak. I grow weary. I need a shepherd. And we can grow in the same anthem as David. You see, we often need to pause in life to remember who our God is and his characteristics. We can, like David, we can want not when we pause to remember who our God is. Shepherds take care of the wants of their flocks. We need to remember to discipline our hearts to reflect on the nature of our God and take a step towards freedom of and freedom from worry. And it's a step towards wanting not, but it's all summed up first in not how great you are, but in how great he is. You see, our ability to want not is found out in how great he is, but I think it's equally backed up by the truth of how he leads. Look at his leadership style. Look at the shepherd. Look how good he leads. In verses 1-3, it goes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He lays me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness." Look how beautiful he leads. Look at his leadership style and his leadership destinations. Green pastures, still waters, restores my soul, and leads me in paths of righteousness. We can trust the Lord, not because he's just not only just a great shepherd, we can trust the Lord because he leads his children to great places. But look at verse 2. He uses some very interesting wording here. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. See, this is interesting language. God's not asking. God's not requesting. God's not like, "Hey, you know what? I'm just going to throw this out there. I've got a good idea." He's using almost strong, forcible language. God is showing authority in this passage. He is the one initiating it. He is the one making it happen. And he is the one leading us to it. God has shown complete sovereignty in this passage to not only have this great desire for his children, he shows complete sovereignty to bring us to the path, to take us on the journey, and to take us to the destination. He will birth it, and he is going to fulfill it. You see, the reason we can want not actually has less to do with us, has less to do with our surroundings, and actually has everything to do with who he is and how he leads. And in this is a sweet, beautiful opportunity to relinquish our need for control, to relinquish our grocery list of needs that we constantly go before the Lord with. Good shepherds know the needs of their flocks and meet them. Our God is that shepherd. Do you believe here today? Do you really believe that the Lord is your shepherd in a way that he knows your needs and birthed from who he is and how he leads? He's perfectly going to meet them in a way that takes you from the camp of want into the camp of worship. Do you believe that that is the nature and the character of your God here today? See, he's going to meet them in a way that's going to take us from the camp of want into the camp of worship. You see, we in this passage, there's this beautiful calling. He goes, "I want not." And we can want not because of who he is. We can want not because of how he leads. But there's also another beautiful calling in verses 4-5. And it's this: "I fear not." And in a world laced with anxieties and fear, this is going to be beautiful. "I fear not because," and David starts with, "because he is with me." Look at verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me." How can David ever say, "I fear not," in the same sentence as the valley of the shadow of death? You see, David can say this because his eye is not on the valley. His hope is not found in the valley. His hope is found not on his current season of life. His hope isn't on how big the valley is. His hope is not on how long the valley is. David finds comfort even in the presence of a valley of the shadow of death because his comfort is ultimately rooted in the fact of that his shepherd is intimately close and his shepherd is intimately with him. David is comforted by the presence of the Lord. David is comforted because though the valley looks heavy, the valley looks discouraging, It might look hard. David's already stopped, even in the midst of the valley, just to go, you know what, Lord, I remember who you are. You are this shepherd. You are my leader. You're my protector. You're my provider. And he stops to remember who and how his God leads. And that's in the presence, when you reflect on the goodness of the Lord, it gives opportunity for anxiety to lower because your eyes are transfixed on him, knowing that he is with you. You see, I see this a lot of the times, if I could be honest, in the counseling room. We try to find comfort, even in a season of a valley of the shadow of death. We try to find comfort in so many things that are not the Lord. We can try to find comfort from the valley of the shadow of death in the valley of the shadow of death. It's like, I run from this thing that makes me feel terrible. I hate how this feels. So I'm going to run from it, and I'm going to go right to it. We can almost sometimes, and it's so funny in the counseling room, and this is so true of my own heart, so often the thing that discourages me, I'm tempted to run to the thing that discourages me in order to find some type of hope and comfort. And guess what happens? It fails me. You see, we can try to be comforted by the thing that wants to destroy us. But here's a great question for us, for me, for you here today. When was the last time you stopped? Even in your valley of the shadow of death, and you reflected on the nature of who your God is, how your God leads, when was the last time you found comfort in his presence? Do you find the comfort, do you find the presence of the Lord comforting? Or maybe you don't even care to find the comfort from the Lord. Maybe you're just looking for more of your own comfort and your own fleshly security. I just want to encourage you, if that's your agenda, watch out. You see, you take God out of this equation, and David only has a valley of the shadow of death. How do you think that ends? Not well. You take God out of this equation, and you have a valley of the shadow of death. You remove the Lord, and out goes comfort, out goes security, out goes provision. You remove the Lord, and you welcome, as the Lord exits, what enters is fear and despair. You see, one of the greatest reasons why David can say, I fear not, is beautifully summed up with the truth that his God is with him. Like David, we might have a valley of a shadow of death with us today, and it might be staring right at us. It's not coming up, it's already here. But instead of bowing down to despair, instead of bowing down to fear, what if we realigned our vision back onto the glorious truth that as we're going through a valley of the shadow of death, our God is going through it with us, and he is leading us. Suddenly, there's a perspective change that happens right there that is life-giving, and that is powerful, and that is good. You see, we can fear not, like David, because our God is with us, but equally, we can fear not because he comforts us. Look at what David is saying in this passage. David says, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David finds comfort in the qualities of the shepherd and in how the shepherd interacts with his sheep. I love this. This sheep named David is not in the valley of the shadow of death because of sin and foolishness. And maybe you're here today and you find yourself in a valley of shadow of death. I want you to know the context of this valley of the shadow of death has nothing to do with sin. If this was the case, if it was David's foolishness and David's sin that was leading him to this valley, the shepherd would be rescuing and rerouting the sheep. But that's not what's happening in this passage. In this passage, the shepherd is leading the sheep through the valley. And I love this. You know why? The valley of the shadow of death should kill a sheep. What's the last word of the valley? The valley of the shadow of death, right? Never seen a tourist pamphlet. Hey, come visit the valley of the shadow of death. It's glorious. Come for 3 days. It's going to be fantastic. Said no, like, travel pamphlet ever. And so here you should see this. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep are weak. And sheep are rather stupid. The valley of the shadow of death should claim a sheep's life. A valley of a shadow of death should destroy a sheep. Yet with a shepherd, the sheep is safe. With a shepherd, the sheep is moving forward. And with a shepherd, the sheep is being comforted by the shepherd. And it's the same for us here today. You ever felt like you're in a valley of a shadow of death? I want you to know, you're not there because your God's forgotten you. You're exactly where the Lord has you, and he's going to lead you through it. in a way that's going to cause worship in him. And I love this because he goes, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And listen, I'm a visual person. If I've ever walked with you in counseling, you know I have like 1,000 props in the room, right? So listen, here is a very ghetto sheep, like a staff of a shepherd, right? And so, and if you're asking, yes, I am a nerd. When I think no one is watching, I quote Gandalf while holding it. But listen, in this, you start to see, like he goes, your rod and your staff comfort me. And the rod and the staff of a shepherd is this beautiful instrument that really has, it's a good thing and a dangerous thing at the same time. If you are a shepherd's sheep, the rod and the staff, you know what it does? Is it guides you. Is it can correct you and it guides you towards these green paths and beside these still waters. But here's a question. If you're a predator, what is a shepherd's staff? It's something you need to fear. Why? It's going to hurt. And so you start to see this same instrument brings life for one and is fearful for another. And the reason why the rod and the staff, it comforts us when we're covered by the blood of Christ is this. This is not wrath. This is an instrument that the Lord uses to guide his sheep towards the places that the Lord is leading his sheep to. But in the same note, as this comforts you, it afflicts whatever comes against you. And you know what's great? It's like in counseling, a lot of people sign up for counseling for a lot of different reasons. I've never had somebody sign up for counseling because of a fear of sheep, right? Like I've never had, like I just have this fear of sheep. They're just so intimidating. They're so frightening. They're so scary. They're so aggressive. Said nobody ever. Nothing fears sheep. Predators don't fear sheep. When predators look at a sheep, what do they think? Food. Prey. You know what predators fear? Shepherds. And so in this psalm, there's this beautiful tension that David keeps talking about, and it's this, that I might be prey to something, but when I am close to my shepherd, whatever I fear, it fears. That shepherd's crook brings me life, but that shepherd's crook protects me because it keeps a distance of the enemy away. And when we are close in the valley of the shadow of death to the staff, we feel its direction, we feel its guiding, but equally this staff is very unsafe for the enemy. It's almost like this beautiful double-sided sword that we can find comfort in. It's this, when we're covered by the blood of Christ, his staff is a beautiful thing. And when we're covered by the blood of Christ, his staff is a beautiful thing because it's going to be used to protect us from the enemy. I love this. You ready? What destroys you on your own, suddenly, when you have your Lord with you and he comforts you, you're going to be sustained. You're going to be not wanting, and you're going to be not fearing. That is the power and the testimony to the greatness of who our shepherd is. You see, we can join with David's anthem. We can say, I want not. We can say, I fear not. But the solution is solely summed up in the sweetness of our Savior. This shepherd Savior named Christ is with you and offers you comfort. Here's my exhortation. Look to him. You see, if we can want not and we can fear not, then here enters this last point in this beautiful charge, and it's this. I will rest. Even pause for a second. When was the last time you felt rest? And I'm not talking about like a great 3-hour nap. When was the last time you felt rest on a soul level? And so when we want not because of who our God is and how he leads, when we fear not because he is with us, we have an opportunity and he comforts us. We have an opportunity now and it's this, I will rest. I will rest. How? I will rest because he abundantly blesses me. Look at this, verses 5-6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, even in this passage, in a passage that talks about enemies, in a passage that talks about evil, in a passage that talks about a valley of the shadow of death, we see enter into it gospel blessing. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. These are not small statements. See, anointing in the Old Testament was a symbol for blessing and provision from the Lord. When the Lord anoints his children in the Bible, there's going to be hard times, but you will always see a blessing and a fruition of that blessing in that person's life. Nothing threatens it. See, in the Old Testament, they're anointed with oil. here today, we're anointed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that anointing and that blessing and the blessing that accompanies it is so beautiful, it's so strong that no evil, no valley of the shadow of death, and no enemy can threaten what the Lord is doing. Nothing. Nothing threatens the blessing of the Lord in our lives. Verse 6 continues to go, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Look at this. David is filled with such hope and joy. There's this beautiful tension. David is talking about a present hope and joy paired with a future hope and joy. But we got to guard ourselves. You know why? Valleys of the shadow of death, enemies, and evil want to rob a sheep from their ability to see their God, from their ability to see present power, and to see future joy. See, as a counselor, I see this weight in the room a lot. And it's this, it's the follower of Christ. And they can see and articulate the valley of the shadow of death. They can talk about these enemies at a table. They could talk about this evil. But what's so crushing about it is they see all of these things, like the valley of the shadow of death. They see the hardship. They see the enemies. They see the evil. And they don't see their God. And they don't see godly comfort. There is no present hope, there is no present joy, and there is no future hope, and there is no future joy. That is the sheep that is the heaviest in the room, and more often, they come in the most destroyed. You see, in the flesh, valleys of the shadow of death, evil and enemies, they all preach a message of destruction, saying, your God's forgotten you, your God is not with you, you are under his wrath, he does not care about you, you are destroyed and you are hopeless. That is the fleshly preaching of the valleys of the shadow of death, but I love this. But not in the flesh, but in the spirit. When we walk in the spirit, the valleys of the shadow of death, evil and enemies are all sweet divine opportunities to strengthen us and bless us when we choose to remember who our God is, how he leads, his closeness, and his blessings in our lives. You see, as followers of Christ, like David, we can say, I will rest. When we see how he abundantly blesses us, and we can also say, I will rest, when we remember a small part of the verse in verse 3. Look at verse 3 with me. Here, read it with me. He restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for whose name's sake? Yours? No, his name's sake. We can say, I will rest, when we remember that he's going to do it for his name's sake. This is a very important context. Such power exists in these four words, for his name's sake. I want you to know your grandmother was probably a sweet woman. She's a liar. And you're like, how can you say that? You don't know, Grammy. She's wonderful. I don't know about you. I have a very sweet grandmother, very kind. She told me I was so unique and so special. And the older I get, I see she was a liar. I'm not that special, and I'm not that unique, and I am not the point. I might be a nice boy, but my uniqueness is not that unique. You know what's unique? The Lord and his glory. See, there is none who is like our God. The point of creation is summed up like an orchestra coming to a crescendo in this point. The glory of God. Spoiler alert. We're not the end all. We're not the point. Our Instagram account is not that. Our followers is not that. Our name, our reputation, our control, our power, our security. It's not the point. We're so self-absorbed, we miss the point, and that's why we're so miserable at the same time. And so this is what we need to remember is this. Long before our God is for us, he's first for himself. Because there's nothing like him. And so God is most invested in his glory. God is most invested in his name. And he's most invested for it being revealed throughout all of creation. So you got to understand, when it's done for his name's sake, it's actually a good thing for us as his children. Because God, when God says that he will do something for his name's sake, we got to consider it done. Nail in the casket, no negotiation, game over. Why? God will allow nothing to intrude upon his will, and God will allow nothing to interrupt his name and his glory. So we find comfort in the fact of when he says, for my name's sake, because we better believe it's going to be done. And God is sweetly after the worship of his children. God does not share glory or worship with anything or anyone. If God says he's going to do something for his name's sake, we can rest. Guys, we can rest in the days to come because nothing is going to thwart what our God is going to do in your life. When God says he's going to shepherd you, lead you beside still waters, make you lay down in green pastures, lead you beside still waters, restore your souls, and lead you in paths of righteousness. When God says he's going to do that and the context of it is for his name's sake, rest. Nothing. No valley of the shadow of death, no evil, and no enemy is going to threaten it. And this is where you need to make yourself small. You know what's really easy? It's really easy to make the context that the Lord will do this, and we make the context how worthy I am of it. You're hopeless. If the context of the Lord doing these great things in your life is how great your religiosity is, you're going to lose. See, this is this chance to rest for a season. If God is going to do it for God's glory, then we can relinquish control. We can relinquish performance. We can relinquish trying harder. We can relinquish doing better. And now we can rest in the security of his sovereignty. We need to remember, God is most for God. And that's a good thing for his sheep. His namesake is the reason why he went to the cross on our behalf. His namesake is the reason why he is such a great shepherd. His namesake is why he is close to his sheep. His namesake is the reason why he comforts. His namesake is the reason why he blesses his sheep. Guys, you ready? Here it is. There is never a time when his namesake and his glory comes at the cost and the trampling of his sheep. Your boss? Absolutely. You're a stepping stone for his third place in Muskoka. But when the Lord does stuff for his name's sake and his glory, it's never at the cost of his sheep. As he is glorified, we are blessed. And so maybe you're here today and you're finding yourself in maybe kind of one of three camps. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. You don't know this shepherd that I'm talking about. Your eyes, they're definitely on the valley of the shadow of death. You find yourself constantly wanting. You find yourself constantly restless and discontent. You're constantly fearing whatever's going on in your life. I want you know what your call to action in this moment is? Is to take this moment and to call out to God and ask him to remind you of who he is, how he leads, and how close he can be. What you're going to need to do is to relinquish this control and come under the security and safety of a shepherd. Or maybe you're here today and you're a sheep. Like us all, you're a sheep. And you're a follower of Christ. Maybe you're feeling weary. I would just encourage you, even in these moments as I talk, ask the Lord just to remind you of your need for rest, not in you. Not in your abilities, but in him. Maybe we need to be reminded as one of the Lord's sheep, he's got this, not you. He's leading you, you're not leading you. You're exactly where God has you, and this is not his wrath, and this is not his punishment. And maybe we need to be reminded, almost rebuked, rest. Rest, because God brings the valleys and the struggles as divine opportunities to woo us closer to him. Here's a glorious truth and a difficult truth to accept at the same time. If your valley of the shadow of death brings you closer to your God, no matter how heavy or how hard that valley is it worth it? If your valley feels heavy today and hard today, but the Lord is orchestrating it to call you, his sheep, closer to him, and as you become more intimate with him, you're comforted by his presence. You see the rod, his staff, and you find comfort in it. And you grow in intimacy with the shepherd. And the Lord's ordained this valley of the shadow of death to woo you closer to him so that you could have more of him in your life. Is it worth it? Here's a comforting gospel truth. as I look out and I see many faces of you precious men and women, there's a beautiful opportunity in this room here today as we walk out. Here today in this seat, from this moment on, the gospel gives you an opportunity where you can want not, fear not, and rest well because of the sweetness of your Savior Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Pray with me, church. So, Father God, we come before you. And God, we come before you as sheep. Sheep who are in need of a Savior. Sheep who, Lord, come before you right now and saying, we need something greater than ourselves. We need a leader because I'm not it. And I thank you that we can call upon you in this room in that humble position. And you hear us. Thank you, Father God, that we can come before you right now and you are close to us. You are intimate with us. Lord, I pray today, Lord, in our valleys of the shadow of death, even in the presence of our enemies and evil, Lord, I pray today, would you give us a gospel strength to want not and help us to find it in who you are and help us to find it in how you lead. God, would you give us this gospel strength to fear not? And would our fear not be grounded, Lord, in the fact that you are close to us and because you give us blessing even in the hard seasons? And God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, not because of how hard we try. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit today, here now, Holy Spirit, I ask you, would you help us to rest well? To rest well in the fact that you are with us, you are close, you've got this, you are for your sheep, and you are leading your sheep, and you're going to do this for your name's sake. So God, I pray, help us just to have an open hand. Let us let go of control. Let us relinquish trying harder and doing better, and let us just find comfort and security in being close to a shepherd who knows exactly what he is doing, knowing that he loves the sheep, he is for the sheep, and he is leading the sheep. We stop and we thank you and we praise you. There is no shepherd like you. There is no God like you. There is nothing like you and your holiness. And God, I thank you that you have revealed it to us. So Lord, today as we wrestle, as we go forward, Lord, would we find comfort? Would we find security? Would we find a present hope and a future?